Get ready for an extraordinary episode. Yes, today I'm honored to welcome a powerhouse to the show. She is the CEO and visionary behind the Wellbeing Sanctuary Training LLC, an acclaimed health expert and a true catalyst for transformative change through self-mastery. Now, our guest today is more than an entrepreneur. She's a fearless woman who turned the prospect of an empty nest into a springboard for personal growth. In our conversation today, we will delve into the untold story. Was her journey a walk in the park, or did she navigate through storms? And what are the invaluable lessons that she has gleaned along the way? So brace yourself, guys, for this inspiring dialogue with my guest today, Samista Mitra. Hello, guys, and welcome to another episode on the Stretch Street Podcast. This is the energetic EJ, and I am super duper excited to be here again today on another episode on the show. Yes, yes, yes. I hope you've had a great week so far. Of course, this is coming to you now on a Wednesday, so I hope that the week has been good. If it hasn't, don't despair. There's still a couple of days more to go for the week to round off, okay? So you can like, okay, this is the middle of the week. How can we make this week better? You can do that. And if it's been great, like, okay, great. How can we maintain this greatness or even make it better again, all right? So whatever the situation is for you, do not despair. Look at the bright side and see what lessons can I learn from this, you know, challenging week that I'm facing, all right? And with that, you're going to be able to go through the week. Hello, Sammy. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. And with your energy around, it's even better.
Awesome. I love it. Love it. Love it. Thank you so much for availing yourself to be here. You know, it was after I read your story on the post you made on LinkedIn and commented and, you know, said, you know what? I want to hear the full story. I want to hear your story. Right. And then I checked. I'm like, I know her. We've met before. And then I realized like, oh, we've met before. You know, We had a small project together in 2021 for the Women's International Women's Day, where we did a dance, right. The Jerusalem dance. Yes. And I remember that was when I met you. I'm like, oh, you look different. I'm like, oh, back then you had a short hair.
Very short hair. You know, that year, 2021, I turned 50. So I had to do something different about myself. So what I did is I had very long hair. Like my hair was so long, like up to my end of my lower back, and I cut it into pixie length. That means that short. And then, okay, it's grown back. It's growing again. But it took me some time to adjust to that new me, to look different, complete change. Like people who saw me every day, I would pass by and they would not notice me, like complete change.
I know what it does. Like, I'm like, whoa. Because when I saw your profile on LinkedIn, I'm like, when I now saw the name, and then I'm like, wow, such like a like completely different face, exactly. But that's hair, so beautiful.
The length of the hair does this to you, I guess. Like if you cut it off, I saw it myself. Yeah.
Honestly, I remember when I also cut my hair off. That was last quarter of last year. People were like, "What? What happened? What? Right. What?" You know. So I think that this feeling like there is a power, or there's power in that external change. Like you know, you feel a kind of way or a certain kind of change from within, but then to kind of put a stamp on it. There is an external change that also has to happen. Right. And I remember me having that conversation in my head. I've always wanted to, you know, change my, there's always like a movement in me like, oh, there's a change in this season, right? And I've had that in me from the beginning of last year. But I couldn't bring myself to the point of changing the external. But it was in Q4 last year. I'm like, no, I think I'm ready for this change. I'm like, ready, you know what? Yeah. Let's do it. Let's do it.
You will figure it out. So for all my life, when I was younger, I wouldn't know if there was any struggle. Automatically, I would want to change the exterior, the external. People in front, whoever they were, I would like to change them so that I could feel better. I would like to change my environment, maybe paint the room, change the furniture, just so that I could feel better. Over the period, I realized I can only feel better if I change myself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That is the transformation that happened with time and age and wisdom.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Now, where I want to start this conversation to first of all say you are such a beautiful storyteller. From the story that got me interested, like, no, I really need to sit with this woman and hear her story, to going out to check your bio on LinkedIn and how you told the story right there. And I'm like, wow, I love how it just speaks to me about your journey, you know, as somebody who is truly a catalyst for change. And so my first question to you is, in part of your bio on LinkedIn, let me just read that part out because I just loved it and it caught my attention. I'm like, no, I want our conversation to start from there, right? You said, my journey towards self-mastery has been shaped by a myriad of experiences, including childhood traumas, living in a joint family, navigating intricate relationship dynamics, illnesses of apparently healthy people around me, and the transformative journey of marriage and parenting. Now, I would love for you to unpack that line that says illness of apparently healthy people around me, because it would appear that it's possible for us to be surrounded by people who are healthy but are ill. What is, like, can you unpack that line for
me? Sure. You know, my father was, as I remember in my childhood, was always very healthy. He would eat healthy. He was fit. He could do so many tasks physically. So, like, I remember after he retired, he would be at home, but my mother was still working then, and my mother would be more busy than he was. And all the, like, going out and buying groceries or going out and buying vegetables, like 10 right. times that my mother would tell him, oh, this is not there, that is not there. He would just run out, get, and come back. And I could never imagine that person who always had this I had this impression that he was the healthy one between both my parents. He suddenly, out of nowhere, was diagnosed with leukemia.
My God.
And then it was only 6 months, and then he passed away.
Oh.
So that, you know, what in us makes us suffer? The last 6 months was so much of suffering for my father, who was always, in my impression, was always healthy and fit and all of that. In fact, my mother was always going to the hospital. She had thyroid issues. She had blood sugar. She had so many rheumatism. Those kind of chronic illnesses she was carrying inside of her. And she would be going in and out, taking medicine and all of that. So apparently between the two parents, you know, my father was the healthier one and my mother was dealing with chronic illnesses. But then it's like so sudden. So that's why the term apparently healthy person.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what happens to them? We don't know internally what's happening. And suddenly you are diagnosed at the last stage of leukemia and nothing can be done. I mean, there's no time for treatment.
Yeah, I can imagine. Did that switch something on in you?
It did a lot because, you know, I am, In general, like if you tell me, give me the option between sitting with myself and sitting with someone else, I would sit with myself. So this is who I am. I sit with myself and I think. I think and I think. I try to connect dots. I try to when I'm reading and researching, I try to apply that in my thought and see, oh, maybe this is making sense, or maybe that is making sense. Maybe this is right. what's causing the illness. Maybe we don't know how to identify before it comes out in full force in the body. So all of those events, life events that happened, and the circumstances, the tragedies, the traumas, the crises, they're telling a story. They're trying to tell you something. There is right. something deeper message which we can derive or we fail to derive.
Wow. I love that. Would you say that was the beginning of your curiosity, or you've always been this curious person? Because you seem to be a curious person, right? Which has led you to this path that you are on. I remember the story I read when you said, see, first you were diagnosed with a particular illness and you're like, no, I'm going to find out why? You kept asking exactly. the why question. And that has led you to this place where you've uncovered a lot of mysteries or a lot of knowledge on your path that has actually led you to this path where you also want to effect that change in people. So would you say that what happened to your dad when you were younger increased your curiosity, or you've always been a curious person?
So there's something that, a simple story. I was relating to someone yesterday. It has nothing related to the question that you asked. I'll come back to your question.
No problem.
So I used to be proud of myself for not drinking water. You know, I would tell myself that I am a camel. I drink water once and I store it in my body, so I don't need to drink it. So then I used to tell this, and suddenly it dawned to me, why am I this way? Why am I not drinking water and taking pride in not drinking water? Then I associated this as a defense mechanism. I grew up with that part of in that time in my country or in my city where there were no public toilets. So if you would go on a long travel somewhere, you would have to hold on, right?
Right.
So the lesser you drink, the better it is.
Right.
So it was only a few years ago I found out why I am the way I am with water. My relationship with water changed when I could connect the dots.
I love it. It's funny you tell this story, because I can so relate 100%. I was the same. And I would really pride myself back in school. Like, I don't go to the, you know, the public toilet in school. I have to wait till I get home. Yeah. Like, I'm that, you know. And until 2020, really, in COVID, that I started to change that. Like, why? I know. I've always known that water is good. We're 70% water. For me, it was hard. It was also hard for me to, like, why would I just drink water without eating anything? Like, I can't just pick up a cup of water and drink unless I'm eating something. But in 2020, I had to retrain myself. And this was one of the reasons, because I'm like, so I drink water and then I have to start looking for washrooms everywhere. But then when I came in Dubai, it was different, because even the public washroom in Dubai is like fairly clean. Right. And so you have no excuses. So I'm like, okay, you know what? Let's do it. Thanks for sharing that story. Yes.
Very simple example, but what if we do the same with our emotional trauma as well? Someone betrayed us and we stopped trusting people forever, right? And then you don't ask yourself, why are you doing this today? But it is a repercussion of your past trauma. And if you do not reset your system, just like water, then you're carrying this trauma with you into the future. And then passing on to your children. You're teaching them not to trust anyone, because people are bad.
Right, right.
And children are growing up with not their experiences, but your bad experience has already created a trauma imprint in your child.
Wow.
So this is what we do. Every single one of us, in our unawareness, we carry our old past traumas every day into the future and pass it on to our descendants. And that is traumatic. Our traumas had happened in the past. It's over. Today, nothing is happening. I'm safe. I'm here. But still, I'm holding on to it.
Right. So would you say that is what birthed your curiosity, or yes. Are you saying that the curiosity was
also a defense mechanism? I'll tell you the story.
Tell me about that. How yeah. so?
So when I was young, I realized that my parents, they have their education in the local system, that is the local medium, local language. But I am the first child in the family who was sent to a missionary school. So my studies, even when I was in lower grades, I could not get help from my parents. Mm. And if I would come and ask questions to them, they would just tell me, it is like this. So there would be no answers, but it is like this. And then what happened is I had to protect myself from asking questions. Because I would never get answers, right?
Right.
So that curiosity which I held inside made me ask those questions to myself.
Wow.
And find answers within myself.
Wow.
So defense mechanism. So that's why even today, if you give me the choice of sitting with someone and sitting with myself, I would rather sit with myself, because I'll right. ask myself a lot of questions and I will get my answers.
So in that regard, would you say all defense mechanisms are, you know, are disadvantaged? Because with this, it seemed like a good advantage to me, because now that curiosity, you've now grown it over the years, that it has made you not settle for the status quo, to say, okay, absolutely. Even if this is said, I'm like, no, I have to find out why. I have to get to the bottom of this. Because, you know, what I was going to ask you around curiosity again was, you know, the saying we all grew up with, I don't know if you did, but from where I come from in Africa, this is the thing we grew up with, when they always tell us curiosity kills the cat. Because as a child, you know, children ask a lot of questions. And so, they'll come to you and say, curiosity killed the cat, so stop asking questions, because you don't have to know everything. Thing and so that kind of killed, yes, that kind of like just put a bar on the curiosity. Absolutely. And like, see, this is how it's being done. Absolutely. That's how you should do it. So no question asked.
This is a disadvantage, because adults would not know answers, and they would not know how to satisfy the child's curiosity. This was the only way to stop the child from bothering the adult.
So that was their own coping mechanism.
Coping mechanism. Don't bother me. Go and play with your friends.
Oh my goodness, this is so funny. But again, it's also an expose to see that there are certain defense or coping mechanism that can be at an advantage for us in the long run. Case in point, the example you made.
What I want to also highlight is that when we are attaching ourselves to one side of the pole, I am more me-centric. Like, I want to talk to myself. I want to. I listen to myself. But it also had a disadvantage.
Right.
And the disadvantage is my parents are my authority figures in my childhood. So, because they could not satisfy my curiosity, I have stopped counting on authority figures. Like, if you are my boss, then I know that you don't know anything.
Wow.
So, you see the disadvantage?
Yeah, I see it. How then now you are at a place where you are very aware of these two borderlines. So how are you dealing with that, and how are you coping with that, and how would you tell anyone who eventually, or who is just at this moment that you're saying it now, says, oh my God, this is what's going on with me? How do you manage it?
Right. The only way to manage this is called duality, you know.
At every absolutely moment, love it.
At every moment, there is going to be a negative and a positive in everything. But we have to find a balance, right?
Absolutely.
If we cannot find a balance between the duality, we are going to be polarized. And polarity is going to be dysfunctional. No matter how advantageous my curiosity it is, it's going to cause dysfunction in me.
So at every point, sit and evaluate, am I in the middle or am I finding a balance between the yin and the yang? So that I'm not in the polarized part of the situation that I'm going through.
The only way to find your balance is become mindful of this moment. Do you need your curiosity now or you can put it aside?
Love it. Love it. Love, love, love it. Mindfulness, mindfulness. Now, tell me a little bit about, you know, the importance of asking the why question, because it was that why you kept asking that helped you. And I remember that in that story you told, you said it helped you kind of find the solution or find a way out of what you were experiencing at the time, because you kept asking why. Why does this happen to people? Why, you know, why is this, what's the cause of this and all of that? So what is the importance of that question, why, as a person, as an organization? Just speak to that.
See, in general, we go through the positive experiences of life and negative experiences of life, right?
Absolutely.
And
yes.
When we are going through the positive experiences, no one asks why. Take
it. Oh my God, that's... That is so true. Nobody asks, why am I rich? Why is everything working out for me? Oh my God, that's so
rich?
True.
Why am I doing this? Why am I feeling good? Why am I happy?
Oh Lord, this is so good. Yeah, it's so correct. So true.
Why do we go through our negative experiences? We suffer. We go through pain. Why am I going through this? So the question needs to be asked in both the cases. That is where you're going to find your balance back. Why am I happy today? And why am I sad as well? If you don't know why you're happy, you have no right to know why you're sad.
Love it. I love this. I love it.
We need to ask every moment to ourselves, no matter what experience we are going through, we need to figure out, what is it that I'm experiencing and why am I experiencing it? What value is this adding to me? The negative experiences also is adding value to me. But it's just that we cannot figure out. Apparently, it's not apparent, it's hidden. So we have to dig inside and figure out how the negative experiences are adding value. But both the positive as well as the negative experience are making me the more richer, the more confident, the more powerful person that I am.
Absolutely. You are just banging on these answers. And I love it. Now, in that, in your bio as well, you know, you talked about this fear of emptiness that kind of propelled you into this new phase of journey that you're on. I mean, I don't know how else another person could have handled it. Like, maybe they could have said, oh, maybe I should get a pet. You know,
coping mechanism, right? I know I'm going through a problem. Like a friend of mine back home, she has two daughters. Her elder one is leaving home for uni, and every day she's texting me, "I can't bear this. I can't bear another day. I think I'm going to die. I can't face it.
Wow.
I don't know how am I going to live this life without my daughter." This is something that. It's not that when she's leaving, you are facing it. You know that you are going to face it. So my question is, there are certain events in our life which are inevitable. You cannot avoid it. We know from before that this is going to happen. Most of the events we don't know. It just happens and we have to take care of it. But there are certain things, luckily, that we know it's going to happen. So when we know it's going to happen, why don't we prepare ourselves from before? So that is my question out there. Like, you know, when men, I have seen the same syndrome that women go through, especially people like me who were housewives or who is a housewife, they go through because I remember when I was a homemaker, I was a housewife, my whole life, as if my mission and purpose of life is only to bring up my child and make him, you know, a something in the world. That's my mission. my validation, like I am valuable, I am worthy, would come from my son's success in school and academics, whatever, how he looks, how he behaves. People would tell me, oh, you raised a very good child. And that was my worth.
Reward.
Yeah. My worthiness would come from his success. So now that he was going to leave home, I just couldn't imagine what would be the next thing I'm going to hold on to.
Wow.
And me, talking about me, I used to be very emotionally connected to this role as a caregiving mother. Very, very emotionally connected. So wherever your emotions are strong, the withdrawal of the emotions are also going to be stronger. So I found this phase so challenging internally, of course. It was not that I was talking about it to a lot of people a lot, but I couldn't, since I know myself, I understood that if I don't do something about it now, since there is time, like he was still at home for the next 3 years, he was in grade 8, grade 9. And I still have 2-3 years left before he leaves home. And if I don't prepare myself now, I would be a wreck when he leaves. So that was my motivation at that time.
Yeah.
And how can I create something that will give me a new purpose? And I wouldn't be that mother who calls their child every day and says, oh, I miss you. You don't write to me. You don't text me. Where were you in the middle of the night? So I didn't want to be that parent.
Oh, my God. So what were some things that you started to put in place? How? Because this sounds more like when you want to wean a child off breast milk. It's like slowly but surely. So how was that process for you?
So that process, you know, like as if when I look back today, it was like about 11 years back now or 12 years back. My son left home in 2014. So it's already 10 years that he left home. And so in between, and now I look back and see, I didn't know what am I going to do. I just needed a purpose, but I didn't know what would give me a purpose. I just started thinking, whatever was in front of me, I took a step. I gripped onto it. And it's as if like I kept on holding on to those steps, and those steps kind of led me to this
road.
Led
you.
Yeah. Wow. It's like not intentionally that I was thinking, oh, my mission in life is going to be how to end human suffering. No, I was not thinking like this back then.
I love that. So you were able to look at what was right in front of you. But exactly. My question to you again is, at that point, there could have been a couple of things in front of you. How did you decide which one to hold on to?
Like, there were not too many options. That says, right? So whatever options were there, out of that, I chose something which would give me some understanding of the mind and myself. My whole curiosity, it was the whole journey started with how can I know myself? Because if I don't know myself, I don't know myself, how can I claim to know you?
Love it. Love it.
I can't claim to know anyone if I don't know myself. I can't even claim that I know my son. I can't. So first journey started with what are those tools that can help me to a little bit peek into. I can talk to myself and get answers, but logically figure out. So this is who I am structurally. And this is how I shaped my branches and my roots came from this stem, this log that I am. So all of that started to make sense when I took that first step.
And that led to Decode You. I love
that
it.
That led to Decode.
And now you are helping others decode themselves. Tell us about Decode You.
Decode You is a formula to hack into your mind.
Absolutely.
I'm so structured, you know, like the other day, It's not funny, but 2 days back, my son told me that, Ma, I can't even have a conversation with you, normal conversation with you, because you are always analyzing everything. Sometimes it feels I'm talking to a robot.
Oh my. Okay. But that's your superpower.
So even when I'm feeling sad, I would say, oh, what is threatening me? This sadness is because I'm going through an emotional threat. I have to figure out why. What is that emotional threat? So that I can neutralize the threat. So this is how I think.
That's how your mind works. That is powerful.
So when I'm talking to him, he is sharing some emotional conflict, and I'm telling him, okay, just identify what is threatening you. Who, like, this person's, am I threatening you? What in me is causing the discomfort? Find out, figure out.
Oh my goodness, that must be a funny conversation. I'm sure he'll think about it sometime. I just laugh to himself, like, oh my God, my mom there is something.
There have been many people who who know me, let's say, beyond my counselor therapist level.
Practice,
they have called me robots as well. They have called me a robot.
Because you analyze every single thing. But again, that's what makes you you. And I'm sure they still appreciate that in you. Yeah.
So the decode you practically is a formula. It's a worldview and a mind model I have created, through which you can analyze yourself. You can figure out what drives you and what pulls you back. What in you makes you suffer. So if you can hack and find that formula and put it in place, and it trains you to be mindful of that on a daily basis and applying it every single day, you can reduce your anxiety and stress to a very minimum level. Because stress, like when I ask, like I go on to seminars or workshops, I talk about stress all the time, right? So what is stress is what people don't understand. Stress is nothing but our perception of threat. That's stress. And most of the time, that threat is emotional. It's not a physical threat. It's not that someone is holding a gun at you.
Right?
It's an emotional threat. So once we identify that emotional threat and we can deal with it better, we manage it better, then we don't feel threatened anymore, and our threshold of stress goes down. And the decode view is all about this. It helps you identify your threats and your safety, like your happiness and your sadness. What we have built up from our childhood, our perception of threat, based on our life experiences. And as I said in the beginning, we are carrying those impressions and imprints inside of us. So if we really, really, open ourselves up and see, look inside, we will see that our subconscious is filled with trauma memories, threat signals, all of that. And most of those are emotional.
Right. Wow.
So I have this offering to the world. The Decode You method is an offering from, like, I know, like, if I die today, whatever I have collected and researched and created will not be known to too many people except those who I have treated one-on-one. But if this could be spread as a model, then there would be more awareness. And trust me, every dysfunction that we have in life, everything, you can name it, relationship dysfunction, behavioral dysfunction, mental dysfunction, as well as physical dysfunction, is a projection of our, let's say, inactive or not inactive or overused defense mechanism. I'll give you an example. In a relationship, let's say someone is avoidant and someone is clingy, right? They are very needy and someone is avoidant. Do you know both are defense mechanisms?
Right.
Like the avoidant person is actually using this as a threat response. Because if they do not avoid, then the responsibility from the relationship, the expectation from the relationship will be too overwhelming for them. And that has happened in their childhood. So they have learned the avoidant tendency in order to deal with their threat. This is a threat for them. Whereas the needy person, who is the clingy person, is also dealing with her threat or his threat. The psychological or the emotional threat for them is, they're going to abandon me. I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. If I'm not clingy, if I'm not holding on to them, they're going to leave me. This is their defense mechanism, because they are dealing with the threat that they are not good enough. So these two people coming together, you can imagine how terrible the relationship is going to be.
Wow.
But if people can decode themselves, you know, what I truly believe is that people come for relationship counseling when their relationship gets into a crisis. But that's the worst period to come for counseling. If you go to all relationship counselors and take a statistics, trust me, you will see that after this relationship counseling, most of the relationships have fallen apart. They can never come back to them.
Wow.
Either they are still together for wrong reasons. Like it could be children, it could be finances, it could be something else. They're together for another different reason. But the actual reason for them to come together is no longer working.
It's not there. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So I really advocate that couples should come for counseling in their honeymoon period.
Before.
When they are ready to shift for each other. When they love each other to bits. Because my understanding is, love is unconditional, but living with them is conditional.
It's conditional.
You can love someone to bits, you know, but the moment you start to live with them, you can start to live with them, you'll not be able to stand them at all, as you said. But why is it so? Because loving and living is not the same thing, but we have mixed it up in our head. We thought loving and living is the same, but it's not. Even we can't live with our own parents, our own siblings.
Sometimes even with our own selves.
Exactly. But just imagine, like when whoever is in front of you, it could be a family who you grew up with, but still you can't live with them. How can you even think that you're going to live with someone who you came to know when you became an adult and they lived another parallel life somewhere else?
Right.
So it's not possible. Right. It's not possible to live with someone who we love unless we train ourselves how to live with them. And that training can come with understanding yourself better. And then we can understand, where we can accommodate the other. Because when we know each other, when we know ourselves, then we can also communicate our needs clearly.
Clearly, yeah.
Otherwise, most of the couples or even individuals who I have counseled for relationship issues, they even don't know what they want.
Yeah.
So what do I want? I want love. I want this. But that's not what you really want. So do you need to know? First, you need to know what you really want. You need to know what is your love language. If you don't know what is your love language, you will not be able to communicate that with your partner. You will do what you want to be, how you want to be loved to the other. And you will think you're doing so much for them.
But they might not appreciate it because you're not speaking their language.
You're not speaking their language.
Right.
I like to give gifts. Because, as I didn't know before, I like to receive gifts. So that's my love language. But as we learn in the childhood, we project the other side. We can't tell people that I like to receive gifts. It would be perceived that, oh, you are such a greedy, needy person, right? You're so materialistic. So as a child, when we grow up, we don't know how to express our needs properly. We hide our needs and we project the opposite. So right. I have always learned to give. But my husband doesn't like gifts. Whenever I go, I buy gifts and it stays on the chair for weeks. He doesn't open. I was irritated, you know, thinking, oh my God, you know, he doesn't even acknowledge, accept, and I'm doing so much for him.
Wow.
So the more you understand yourself, the better it is to communicate your needs, the better it is to understand the other.
Other people, yeah.
Yeah. So what are they doing for me is actually what they want to be done to them. And this observation, this mindfulness, this doesn't come if you don't know yourself.
If you don't know yourself. Love it. Love it. If you don't decode you, you can't decode you others. You can't be or live in harmony with others. And that is so powerful. That is such a powerful work you're doing with your findings. As we round off this session, I want you to highlight two or three life lessons that your journey has taught you so far.
Right. The most important lesson I learned is, for every discomfort that I have, emotional discomfort, physical discomfort, I can change and shift my position. But for emotional discomfort, I challenge myself to understand why this is uncomfortable. And there is always a story that today I can connect back to today's discomfort, why I have perceived this as not comfortable. I can share tens and thousands of stories related to every discomfort that I have still in my life. But the whole lesson is that the discomfort that you are facing today, emotionally, challenges that you're facing, is because of a resistance inside of you. If you can overcome the resistance, that is my goal, to overcome. I identify the discomfort and then I find out the resistance that's causing the discomfort. And then I have today the power in me to transform that discomfort, which I call pain, into wisdom. So it's my internal resistance, which I need to transform. And then the pain forms. That is one major life lesson that I have learned. And I have put it together in the Decode You process as well, how to do that, the tools to maintain it and all of that.
Right.
And the other life lesson would be, you know, in this lifetime, I did a art therapy workshop with a group of ladies a few days ago. There, we started with, let's say, whatever blockages we have, resistances we have, let us clear all of that. And then we guide them into the artwork that they did. So everyone has created a masterpiece on paper. You would not believe how beautiful, how, you know, enigmatic each and every piece turned out to be. Whether it doesn't matter if someone is an artist or never, you know, sketched
painted
on paper
before.
Yeah. So what that represents is our life. On the paper, they are drawing their life after all the blockages are removed. Every piece becomes a masterpiece. That's my greatest learning in life. No matter what experience you're going through today, the moment you remove the resistance from the experience and look, make the bigger picture of your life, like you connect and draw the big one. And then at the end of the day, when you look back, this is a masterpiece.
Right.
And that's true for every single one of us. We are so stuck in one corner, in one experience, that we fail to see the masterpiece.
Bigger picture. Wow. Wow. So powerful. So powerful. Thank you.
These are the two main learnings from my own life experiences.
Absolutely fantastic. And again, it's just a beautiful lesson and a beautiful journey that you have been on yourself to come to this point where you've been able to decode you and heighten your awareness so much that you're able to catch all of these nuances, this resistance, this pain, this seemingly suffering, and how to convert those into power, wisdom, and, you know, strength. And I just thank you so very much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you for sharing having
so much wisdom, so much value in this one simple episode. If people wanted to, especially for those in the UAE, and they're so interested in what you've just said and talked about, and they want to like know more, to say, you know what, I would love to sit with Sammy to say, how, like, practically, I get it, I understand it, but I don't know where to start or what to do. How can they come in contact with you, or what's your process like?
The process, they can call us. We are available. Like, just Google the Wellbeing Sanctuary and we will pop up. And our phone numbers, our email addresses, all are there. They can just call us and book a free discovery session. I'm offering a free discovery session for everyone out there so that they can understand the power of Decode You, and they can take their call after that if they want this, to get into this program, or they want to opt out, or they are not ready for the time being. It's their choice, but they can at least book that free discovery session to figure out if this is where they are right now, if they're ready right now or not. And the Decode You program is now KHDA approved training. So I am able to train professionals to become a counselor or a therapist and teach or do counseling with the model of Decode You for their clients. So the levels are starting from next weekend, and it's like 5 levels in all. And after the 5 levels, they are meant to be certified. And the certification is going to come from KHDA and IPHM together. So this certification is valid, legal, and will help them to get license as well if they want to use it professionally ever, or also for their personal development.
Fantastic. I love that. I love that. Thank you so much for the amazing work you've done so far on your journey and helping others. And I think that is such a good way to live. To not, you know, to not limit your findings to yourself, but to just spread it out there to say, as many people as need this help, I want to help them get to know themselves better. And I love that. So guys, if you're listening to this or watching this and you are in the UAE and you love to learn how to decode you, you know where to go. I'm going to leave all the links, the website, even her LinkedIn page, so that you can connect with her on LinkedIn. And if you need to ask questions, but then remember, you have that opportunity to book that discovery call. What is the worst that can happen? At least there is no way you will leave that discovery call that you would not discover something about yourself. Okay.
Definitely.
So please jump on this offer. Book that call today, get to understand what it takes, and see if you are ready to make the shift in your own life, just as Sammy is providing. Thank you once again, Sammy, for being here today.
I really appreciate you. To be here. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. You too. All right, guys. So till I come your way again next week, remember, this is the Stretch Street Podcast and I come to you every Wednesday. Yes, yes, yes. So please, if you are yet to subscribe to the YouTube channel, if you are watching, please do hit the subscribe button and turn on notification so that you are alerted every time a new episode drops. And if you're listening to this, whether on AfriPod, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening to the episode from, also, you can favorite us there. You can give us some ratings. You know, 5-star would be nice. It won't cost you anything. It won't even cost you more than just tapping those stars. And that's it. Or you can leave a review. But also, beyond that is, if you have questions, if you have contributions, if you have a message, if something from this episode has jumped at you and you're like, oh my God, that was really great, please send me a message. You can send a voice note so that I could include it in this the subsequent episode, or you can send me a text and I can read your message out loud on the next episode. So please do not hesitate to send your feedback. This is how I know that you're listening, you're watching, and you're being impacted, which is the goal for me here. All right. So till I come your way again, this is the Energetic EJ, one and only. I'll see you next week. Bye.